time I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm gonna need to parachute when I get through walking these blues. When I get back to New Orleans, I've got my suitcase in my hand. I'm leaving here today. Yes, I'm going back home to stay. Yes, I'm walking to New Orleans. You used to be my honey, till you spent all my money. No use for you to cry, I see you by and by. I'm walking to New Orleans. I've got no time for talking. I've got to keep on walking. New Orleans is my home. That's the reason why I'm gone. Yes, I'm walking to New Orleans.
And you're listening to WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. Stay tuned for a live edition of Health Action. Welcome. You're listening to Health Action over WBAI in New York. I'm Catherine Davis in studio, joined by Bob Lederer and Mark Hannay. Hello.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good morning.
I guess, technically.
Well, we are here to reach out to our listeners to support WBAI. And so I'm very happy to be joined by both you, Mark, as well as Bob. Hello, Bob.
Hi, Catherine and Mark. Good to be on with you, and hello to all the listeners at this critical moment in WBAI's fund drive.
Yes, and so I am really happy to be joined by the both of you because, you know, this is a collective. Health Action has been doing important work for, it seems, generations now here over WBAI. And I wanted to have you remind everyone about the history of WBAI. So maybe, Bob, you would be the best one to talk about that because you have been with this show from the beginning. So just give us a little bit of a synopsis of the work and that Health Action has brought to the air.
Sure. Before there was Health Action, there was another show called AIDS, Path to Self-Empowerment and Living, which I co-founded with several other activists and radio producers in 1990 at the probably the low point, the worst moment in the New York City and global AIDS crisis, when deaths were happening just at a horrible rate every week. and the mainstream media, as of course with every other issue, but particularly with this crisis that was so afflicting disproportionately the gay community and communities of color here in the city, and communities of current and former drug users, was just either ignoring it or treating people with stigma and discrimination. And of course, on the corporate side, the only interest was in exploiting people whose doctors could be persuaded to prescribe expensive drugs. So that's what the original show, the AIDS show, set out to expose and to also show the important community organizing going on in different parts of the different communities affected by the AIDS crisis, and how they were fighting back and how they were making an impact in actually saving lives. And then about 4 years after that, WBAI management said to us that this is a really important program, but we would like you to broaden the principles that you've talked about here to health as a whole, not just one disease, however important that disease is. And that's when Health Action was born. And so we've tried to maintain that mix of practical and inspirational tips and strategies and approaches that go outside the mainstream medical model on the one hand, but also the hard-nosed political and economic issues about health care in this country and how we have a medical industrial complex that is really undermining our health care and in some cases worsening even destroying people's health, even at the same time it is capable of some very crucial cures and reparative medicine for people in emergencies. So we've covered everything from soup to nuts, and each of the three of us could talk a little about what we've focused on. Over the years, I've covered such issues as corporate assaults on our health, ranging from nuclear power plants to cell phones to vaccines that haven't been adequately tested for safety. And then in more recent years, it focused a lot of attention on issues of access to care, both here in the U.S., but also globally, particularly for AIDS, drugs, but others as well. And then a special emphasis in recent years on prison health care, which is, in most parts of the country, quite atrocious. Mm-hmm. And the particular plight of political prisoners, people who are jailed because of their radical politics, and then when they become ill, the prison authorities take advantage of that vulnerability to give them even worse health care than they might give other people incarcerated. So anyway, that's just a sampling of some of the issues that I've focused on, and Mark and Catherine have also done some important work as well.
Yes, and Mark, I think it would be great if you could talk about your work, because I know that you are indeed an activist, but you've done a lot of work in the issues of policy, and maybe you could give us a little bit of an update, but also tell our listeners about your commitment to expanding the dialogue and really changing the health policies of our country.
Thank you. Well, I guess I would say that I think the key word is in the title of the show, and that's the word action. And we've all of three of us, as we produce different segments for the program over the years, are focusing on what you as an individual can do, either in terms of your personal health, your understanding of medical issues, the larger economic and political issues at play, how all that sorts out, but then what you can do, and also how other people are taking action and responding, either individually or collectively. And I think that's what I've always kind of appreciated, not only about this program per se, but I think that reflects the broader philosophy of this station and of WBAI and of the Pacifica Network, of which WBAI is a member. And I think that that's why we come to you listeners periodically to ask for your financial support to keep a program like Help Action and a station like WBAI and a network like Pacifica on the air as a unique listening alternative for people in the greater New York City area. And of course, now that everything is digital, you can literally listen to the station anywhere worldwide through the World Wide Web. In terms of my own involvement, I became involved late in 2002. So that was, I guess, about 15 years ago now, actually, now that I look back on it. Tempest Fugit. In my own professional life, I'm a health advocate and activist, and I was kind of brought in to bring some of that work forward. And my very first program that I was part of was a special that we did that was, it was within a week or two after the untimely death in a plane crash of the late Senator Paul Wellstone, who was a politically progressive politician, but also had a real thrust to his work in politics on the issue of health care and access to health care. We interviewed his former chief of staff and other people that had known and worked with him about all that he had been able to accomplish. And he was one of the very first politicians back at that time and through his political career who had really pushed forward the concept of a national health insurance program and how that could benefit the United States. And the latest sort of version of that is Senator Bernie Sanders' Medicare for All bill that he put forward probably a couple of months ago, almost by now. So over the years, I've kind of focused on the issue of health politics, health policy, the intersection of those things, how what activists are doing around all of that. It seems like that both that topic has been constantly in the forefront of our nation's politics for going on two decades or more now. And of course, the last 9 to 10 months, it has been one of the foremost political issues facing our nation as the new Trump regime and the new Congress have tried to literally undo everything that we've accomplished as a nation in the area of health insurance and healthcare access over the last half century. And so that's a lot of what I've worked on. I remember when the fight was on in 2009-10, Congress was developing what we now know as the Affordable Care Act and pushing that forward. I was constantly covering that issue week by week to week, and the program was given a recognition and award by the Public Health Association of New York City for that work that we did. And so yet another example of why it's important for you listeners to support this station and keep its good work going forward. Because at that time, you know, other media outlets were certainly covering that topic. It was a major political issue, but not week to week to week to week, program to program to program to program. So I guess I'll sort of pause there.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Mark and Bob. And I just wanted to fill in a little bit about my participation.
Sure.
And I really came on board Health Action towards the beginning when that transition was made into a program that was broadening the perspective. And I actually had come into, I guess, contact with Bob during that time when we were lobbying for the Dietary Supplement Health Education Act, and there was a lot of activism around how to protect complementary and alternative doctors, because many of them were being jailed and losing their licenses, and people were not having access to that work. So I really was part of that activism. And then, truthfully, my perspective tends to be more on a personal level, more on personal empowerment, how to maintain health on an individual level in terms of what we can do to change our diets, what we can do to work with our energies, with our emotions. And I look at the connection between people's, you know, emotional wounding, between their personal history and how they can resolve issues. Because for me, health is also mental health. It's also the health of the community, as well as the health of the planet and the health of society. And I come from a more personal perspective. My original motivation was because of an unfortunate experience in the hospital system, where my mother was, you know, she lost her life basically due to malpractice, being given something that she was allergic to, known to be allergic to, and then given another dose. And there was just a lot that motivated me to look for answers, and that's how I was geared into helping to empower myself and empower people to be an advocate for themselves, but also to make choices that are healthy choices and will protect their well-being. So I think that the three of us really do put together a complementary perspective and an expansive way of dealing with and regarding health and health issues. And this is what we are. I really wanted to present this so that we can reach out to people to support WBAI, because Health Action, from my perspective, is rather typical of many of the programs over WBAI, where people come to it with a great deal of social and personal commitment and dedicate time and energy and resources to bringing these programs to the air. But we also need to protect and maintain the greater resource of WBAI. So we are asking all of you who are tuned in at this moment to call our pledge line, 516-620-3602, to make a pledge. We're going to be offering a few premiums as we go forward, but for those of you who are not members or have lapsed membership, we're really looking to improve. We have specific goals that are to improve our membership, invite people back to being supporters of WBAI, to become WBAI buddies, and in that way we can have that ongoing support to help sustain the radio station as we go forward. So for those of you who would like to take those avenues, I want to invite you to call right now, 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. And for those of you who'd like to pledge at the $35 level, we have on our website PASS, the New Life Expo, which is an ongoing yearly event in New York, is having its event on this coming weekend, October 27th to 29th, yep. And you'll have a 3-day pass for your pledge of $35, calling that number, 516-620-3602. Go ahead, I interrupted you.
Yeah, I was just going to add here that I think one other thing that's unique about WBAI is we talk about it as listener-supported, of course, but it's community radio. And many, many of the producers for the station are volunteers, such as the three of us, who come and produce this program and present a community perspective on it and present voices from the community that are practitioners that may not necessarily be from the sort of orthodox mainstream medical system, of activists and so forth. As Bob was talking about, his work focusing on more marginalized communities in our health system and so forth. And you don't hear those voices on any other station on a regular basis, both commercial and non-commercial. And so I think that's a really unique asset of WBAI and a really good reason to support the station and its programming, not just this program, Health Action, but sort of across the board.
Exactly, because we're all working together, and the resource needs to be protected for all of us, all of our listeners, all of our, you know, dedicated producers, because we really do provide a very real service in terms of educating people, and also in terms of bringing ourselves together to be able to act on these issues. So it's very, very important. The number is 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. Please call and make a pledge of support right at this moment. 516-620-3602. And we're going to play, we're going to switch gears in a few minutes and play one of our fundraising premiums, some audio for you to consider. But Bob, did you want to say anything more about?
Sure. Yeah, I just want to really say more and emphasize what Catherine was saying about protecting the resource that's WBAI, because I know that many longtime listeners have heard us say that our financial situation is dire, and maybe at some point people may consider it a case of the boy who cried wolf. But I'm here to tell you tonight, we are 3 weeks out from a New York State judge's ruling that Pacifica, our parent foundation, owes the Empire State Building, where WBAI has its antenna, almost $2 million in back rent, because it's just an outrageous amount of rent that would be unaffordable for any nonprofit station, and that money needs to be paid very, very fast. So this is the most dire moment that this station has lived through in 57 years of existence. And we really need to ask you to be as generous as you have ever been to keep WBAI on the air, and also to fend off the growing calls from our sister stations. We have five stations in the network that are all working together to keep the network going, and some of them are starting to say, you know, it's really time to look at things like exchanging the 99.5 location for something perhaps lower on the dial that would be less valuable, and that we could make some money. Pacifica could make some money that could help us pay off that judgment to Empire State. But in reality, what it would mean is a reduction of our signal range, and therefore a reduction in our listenership. And it would really be quite disastrous. We all have to pitch in at this moment and make sure that we can help WBAI survive at 99.5, for the long term, to not only continue our work, but to really step up the sort of outreach so that we get back more listeners that, like we used to have, who hear this really precious and rare independent community-based coverage that's all about empowering people to make change against these oppressive institutions that we face in every aspect of society. So I urge you, please become a member if you're not already. Better yet, become a buddy, which is a sustaining member that makes a regular donation that's deducted automatically from your bank account at whatever level you feel comfortable with. That's really, really important to give us the stability over the long term to cover our ever-growing costs, particularly the really outrageous rent we have to pay at the Empire State Building. So again, the number to call is 516-620-3602, or if you prefer, go online to www.give, the number 2, WBAI.org. Give to WBAI.org.
Excellent. Thank you. I really appreciate that, because it is true. We are really, you know, we're at the crossroads. It's no more just approaching it. We're at the crossroads, and we are extremely dependent, relying upon our listener support. And, you know, in this era of convoluted media, we do need WBAI in New York City, and it will continue with your support. I have confidence that you will make that phone call, 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602, and you can go to the donation site, give to WBAI.org. You can become a BAI buddy. You can make a donation in any amount. You can pledge for any premium you might choose, and you can make a pledge in the name of your favorite show or list of shows, so that you can really let management, the powers that be, know what you value on the air. So it's always worthwhile to say that I love this show or this list of programs, and make that donation by calling 516-620-3602. So I'm going to go to some audio.
Catherine, just before you do that, you know, as Bob said, we are at the station here at a very dire moment. And perhaps this is one of the most dire over the station's history, but we have been through challenges before, and the listeners have always stepped up for and come through, and that's why we've been able to keep a nonprofit community station like WBAI as part of the Pacifica Network on the air for over half a century now. So I want to sort of also, while it's a dire moment, also project a feeling of hope and a feeling of confidence, as you were suggesting, Catherine, that you, the listeners, can and will come through for us and protect the station that you know you love, that you listen to a lot, different programs such as Help Action and other programming on the station, which is really quite eclectic, I must say, for a radio station. So please go to your phones right now and or do your computer and make your support for this station to keep programs like Help Action and stations like WBAI on the air. You've done it before. It's time to do it again.
Exactly. And the number is 516-620-3602. For those of you who are up and about, take this opportunity to support WBAI. Make a donation in any amount. Become a WBAI buddy. You can be a member just for a $25 donation. But we're also asking you as listeners to be ambassadors for the station. Remind your friends, your family, to come back to WBAI and support this radio station, so that we will be expanding and in what we're able to do, and expanding in the resources that we have to do these broadcasts and to do the research and to do all the things that we do, because we're doing it in service to you, in service to community, in service to the radio station. So please do join us with your support by calling 516-620-3602 or going to the website give2wbai.org and make a donation to support and sustain WBAI. So I guess I'll just go into some of the audio, so that you can. We want to give you an opportunity to receive a gift for your pledge of support, and we are going to be playing a bit of The Doctrine of Discovery, Unmasking the Domination Code. And it's a film directed by Sheldon P. Wolfchild and co-producer co-produced by Stephen T. Newcomb, based on Pagans in the Promised Land. The film provides a compelling account of history and how the culture of domination started and how it continues today. And this is the real key here for this DVD. It, you know, this doctrine of discovery, this global domination that we're seeing in the world today started in the colonial era, connected to the papal bull and the Christianizing of the world, the genocide of Aboriginal people across the world. But those of us who are alive today are still living under these very same systems. So it really is very educational and informative. And you can pledge $75 for the Doctrine of Discovery when you call 516-620-3602. We're also offering you today an opportunity to enjoy a three-day weekend at the New Life Expo. It's in New York City, and it includes the entrance fee and the free lectures, exhibitors. It's a wonderful event, and you can enjoy all 3 days of that. You can find out more of this if you go to our website, give2wbai.org, look up New Life Expo, and there's a little video attached to the page, and it can give you a sense of what that event will be. But now we're going to go to a bit of the DVD to give you a little motivation of what you can receive when you make your donation to WBAI. So thank you, Mark and Bob.
Right, and thank you, listeners, for rising to the challenge.
Exactly.
And the opportunity, right. I guess I should say.
Yes.
Absolutely.
All right. All right, so we'll play a little audio and then pitch again at the end of the program. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Nations and peoples, including our sacred sites and significant and ceremonial places, is our free and independent existence, extending back to the beginning of time through our oral histories and our oral traditions. That free and independent existence means something. It especially means something in the face of systems of domination and dehumanization that were brought here by the monarchies of Christendom in the 15th and 16th and later centuries. What we're going to be examining is the doctrine of discovery, or the doctrine of Christian discovery. The story of the doctrine of Christian discovery is a story of the doctrine of Christian domination and dehumanization. That doctrine is found in documents issued by popes in the Vatican during the 15th century, which declared war on the non-Christian world and instructed Christians to invade, capture, vanquish, and subdue all Saracens, pagans, and other enemies of Christ, to reduce them to perpetual slavery, and to take away all their possessions and property. If that's part of the Christian message, and by us speaking against that somehow makes us anti-Christ, because we're against the domination and dehumanization system, then what does that say about Christianity? But if the domination and dehumanization system is not something that Christians and other people believe in or subscribe to, then they should join us in working to abolish and disestablish the system that has resulted in the dehumanization of original nations and peoples throughout the planet and continues to do so to this day.
In June of 1864, a U.S. Senate debate was held concerning the extraordinary amount of money needed to implement U.S. Indian policies. What began as a debate on money matters evolved into a heated debate on the U.S. government's relationship to the Native American nations.
The whole relation between the Indian tribes and the United States is the most ridiculous possible. And I hope someday or other, A gentleman familiar with the subject will bring in a bill abolishing the whole system. I believe the very worst enemies to these people, in many cases, are the men that the government of the United States employs as agents to protect them. Our white people constantly encroach on them and do them great wrong. It's the duty of the United States to protect them.
This glorification of the Indian character and the poetic tale of his wrongs inflicted by this government in the purchase of their lands is a phantom of the poetic brain. We have paid to these Indians and invested for their benefit millions in money and have thus brought to their doors all the arts of a Christian civilization. If they refuse to merge into and become part of the superior race, they must necessarily be destroyed. It is a law of humanity.
We are a different race. It is not that the government has inflicted wrong. It grows out of the case itself. The contact of the two races side by side upon the frontiers of Christian civilization. God, in his providence, is giving this continent to millions of human beings of higher civilization and leading the advanced guard of human and Christian civilization.
No word is more vague and has permitted the commission of more crimes than that of civilization. The histories of all colonies begins with violence, injustice, and shedding of blood. The result is everywhere the same: the disappearance of the native races, des races sauvages, coming into contact with civilized races. Charles Salomon, 1889, 19th century international law scholar.
And it says, civilization, the act of civilizing, the forcing of a particular cultural pattern on a population to which it is foreign. And this is from the Webster's Third New International Dictionary.
Pagans in the Promised Land, Decoding the Doctrine of Christian Discovery, Stephen T. Newcomb.
When you look at the quote from Senator Harland of Iowa in the clip that we just saw, and you examine the language, what he says is that if the Indians will not merge themselves into a superior race, they must be necessarily destroyed. That's that part of that genocidal principle. And then he says, it is a law of humanity. When you parse that, what you see is actually two different categories, a category of humanity and those outside of that category. The category of humanity considers itself to be a superior race, and the original nations and peoples of this territory, of this continent, of this hemisphere, they actually are considered to exist within a subhuman or a non-human category, and therefore, through that dehumanization process, there's a presumption of a right of domination. And what has been commonly and typically called the doctrine of discovery is actually the doctrine of domination. And whenever you talk about domination, you have a correlative or a corollary of that. So you have what's above, and then you have what's below.
And you're listening to a brief excerpt of The Doctrine of Discovery. And this is a film directed by Sheldon P. Wolfchild and co-produced by Stephen T. Newcomb, who we just heard from. And you'll receive the DVD for your pledge of $75 when you call 516-620-3602. 516-620-3602. You can also make that pledge by going to our website, give2wbai.org, and you can search for Doctrine of Discovery, and you will find an opportunity to make that pledge. Now, the Doctrine of Discovery is also a part of a larger package. It's called We Were Here Before Columbus. And this includes 4 DVDs and 1 audiobook. It's a pledge of only $150 for this package. And it does include the Doctrine of Discovery DVD as part of this package. Also includes a DVD called The Trail of Tears. On May 26, 1838, federal troops forced thousands of Cherokee from their homes in the southeastern United States, driving them toward Indian Territory in eastern Oklahoma. More than 4,000 died of disease and starvation along the way. And the third DVD is called They Came Before Columbus, reveals a superbly detailed documentation of the presence and legacy of Africans in ancient America. Dr. Ivan Van Sertima builds a pyramid of evidence to support his claim that an African presence in the New World centuries before Columbus. And the fourth DVD is called Broken Rainbow. It's a powerful and unsettling overview of the conflicts faced by indigenous peoples to survive the machinations of the energy companies and their government allies. And so we saw that with the Water Protector. So that's 4 DVDs plus 1 audiobook. And that audiobook is The Indigenous People's History of the U.S. It's a history of the United States told from the perspective of indigenous peoples and reveals how Native Americans for centuries actively resisted expansion of the U.S. empire. Maybe this will be a playbook for us to learn because we are all in this same situation in our current day. So it's a $150 pledge when you call that number. 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602, and the pledge is $150 for the package. We Were Here Before Columbus, as I just described, with 4 DVDs and 1 audiobook. This package, We Were Here Before Columbus, also includes the Doctrine of Discovery, which we have been listening to for the last few moments. If you want to pledge just at that $75 level, we'll thank you with a copy of The Doctrine of Discovery. So call 516-620-3602. And for those of you who are interested in having a welcoming experience, a healing experience, we invite you to pledge at the $35 level for a 3-day pass to the New Life Expo. That is this coming weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, October 27th to the 29th. So for those 3 days, you will be able to enjoy a series of lectures and presentations, as well as go to enjoy the exhibitors, and it includes the entrance. When you go to the door for your ticket, for your entrance to the New Life Expo, it's the cost would be $45. We're giving it to you at a slight discount at $35, but it's powerful because Mark Becker and the New Life Expo has actually donated this to WBAI, so the full amount of your donation goes to support this radio station, and it features some of the most sought-after experts in health, wellness, enlightenment, metaphysics, and spirituality. And so there are, you would go to the website, or they have, when you get there, there are like multiple lectures, free lectures taking place almost every hour of each day of the expo. So you can read more by going to our website, givetowbai.org, and look up New Life Expo. It'll give all the details, and it will also, there's a little video there so that you can take a look at it. It's October 27th to 29th at the Hotel New Yorker at 34th Street and 8th Avenue. So it's right there near Penn Station in Manhattan, easily accessible. So please call and donate $35 for one of these 3-day passes to the New Life Expo, 516-620-3602. You can pledge at the $75 level for a copy of the DVD, The Doctrine of Discovery, or you can pledge at the $150 level for the package, We Were Here Before Columbus, 4 DVDs and an audiobook. You can become a member at the $25 level, or a BAI buddy, which is an ongoing donation, at any level. It could be $10 a month, $20 a month, whatever works for your pocketbook. But we do need your support, and we're reaching out to you at this time to call and support WBAI, 516-620-3602, 516-620-3602. I'm Catherine Davis in studio. You're listening to Health Action, and this is WBAI 99.5 FM, WBAI.org. I'm going to go back to a little more of the DVD.
Dr. Luis Rivera Pagan writes the following in his introduction to A Violent Evangelism. Perhaps the main defect of many modern studies of the age, meaning the age of discovery, consists in not recognizing the primacy of the theological discourse in 16th century ideological production. Truly, the Spanish conquerors of the Americas were driven by their quest for God, gold, and glory. But it was the language related to God, theology, that served to rationalize avarice and ambition, not vice versa. It was religion that attempted to sacralize political domination and economic exploitation. One of the things I want to ask you to start out is, how did you come to write the book?
Well, yeah, it was the end of the 90s. The end of the 80s, sorry, the end of the 80s. And at that moment, under the leadership of Spain, in all countries of Latin America, there were established committees for the celebration of the 500 years of the discovery of America. And I was concerned about the emphasis on discovery. Because discovery is always a nice word. It's good to discover something, you see. But sometimes the concept of discovery can be used to occlude, to take out of the sight of people what was happening under the concept of the